Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, sitting in the studio today with Richard Piper. Looking forward to hearing from you at 1-800-677-9377. Would love to talk to you about how the grace of God intersects with your day-to-day life, how this good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection could impact you in such a positive way, that in a way that you can experience peace and joy in your daily experience. So let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377. In that light, I'd love to share this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Many of you may know this, may have memorized it. I think it's one of the most astonishing verses in the Bible. It says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I love how the New Living Translation words it. It says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." We all have cares and worries in this life.
Yeah,
no one is exempt from those things. I mean, sometimes they're big and huge and gargantuan in our mind and thinking. Other times they're small, but they're still worries. They bother us. They keep us up at night. And because God loves us, we have an opportunity to cast those cares upon him. He's the one that's promised to take all the things in our lives and work them together for good. And why not leave the cares and worries that keep us at night at his feet? Why not put those in his hands? Why not entrust yourself to the God who loves you and who gave himself for you? I think this is just one of those powerful verses, one of those life changers for you that really moves the needle as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned. So absorb this. Take this to heart. If you're in a place where you're struggling, where you're worrying, where you're anxious about what life might bring, would you cast those upon Jesus Christ? He wants to take them, and he wants to give you comfort and peace in the midst of them. You can do it today. You can cast those cares upon him today. Well, if you have a situation that you would like to talk about, we would love to talk with you, to point you into the Word of God, to give you a measure of hope and encouragement that only this good news can give. So that number to call, 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's start today in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk with Andrew, listening to us on the internet. Hi, Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you. How y'all doing? It's so good to hear you again. I listen to you all the time. And it's so good to see that you and Richard and Bob, Brother Bob, and all your staff out there telling people the truth. And I just like the way you give it, and you give it in love so people can understand it. And I just appreciate y'all so much because I heard you in Fayetteville in 1995, and I hope you could get another station back down here because we need it bad down here. But I thank you again, all you, so much. But I have two questions, and one has to do with people now who are calling themselves prophets and apostles, and how does that line up in the modern day with under the new covenant? And also when people are teaching, with tithing and speaking in tongues and all these other things to the gospel, according to what Paul said about the gospel, and then death, burial, and resurrection in Corinthians, then he came back in Galatians and said, if anybody adds anything to this, even I or angel from heaven, let him be eternally condemned. And my question is, these people, ministers and others are constantly mixing those two things. How can that be justified? And then really would that mean that some of those people who teaching that seem like they should have a better understanding? And if they do, would that make them, whether we'd be saved or not? And I was just wondering if you could comment on that, because we have so much of that teaching down here.
Well, Andrew, great question. And for those who may have just been tuning in, Andrew is asking about modern-day prophets and apostles. Do those exist within the new covenant? And I think that's a great way to couch the question, Andrew. It recognizes the fact that the old covenant was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and that today we live in a new covenant. As far as prophets, when we think about prophets, we certainly think about the prophets of old. We think about Jeremiah. We think about Isaiah. We think about Daniel. We think about those guys. And when they lived, God gave them revelation, a new revelation that they were to then pass on to the people of Israel. Most of the revelation was in reference to kind of the direction Israel was going at any given time. Usually they were moving away from yes. truth, moving away from the one true God. And God would call up or raise up a prophet and speak to that particular person and have that person pass on those words to the people. And the hope was that they would turn from the error of their ways back to the one true God. So those prophecies were written down, and that became what we know of as the Old Testament. Well, those prophets no longer exist in light of that function or that particular role. All that's been revealed by God has come and gone. I mean, everything that we know or need to know about God has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So he's become the last prophet, so to speak. And now God is speaking to us through Jesus. And so prophets today would simply be pointing people to Jesus Christ. They're not getting new revelation about who this Jesus would be, like the prophets of old were. We have Jesus. And so we simply point people to Jesus Christ. That's what a prophet today would do. An apostle, there were 12 guys plus Paul that served that role as apostles. They were delivered the New Testament. They were given explanation as to what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection truly meant. They explained that under the inspiration of God's Spirit. They wrote that down in the form of letters, which we have as the New Testament. Again, there's not going to be apostles that are going to be serving in that role today. There are people who were sent out by God, and that's what the word apostle means. It's one that is sent out, but we're sent out carrying the message of the apostles out to others to share this good news of God's love and grace in Christ Jesus. So anybody that comes up and says, I have a word from God for you, I think, need to be skeptical at that point and take what they say, bounce it off the Word of God, because the Word of God is the standard for truth. The Word of God is the revelation of truth in Christ Jesus. If it doesn't match up to what the Word of God has to say, then you know that their words didn't come from God at all.
Okay, I understand that. So then you can't say there are modern-day prophets and apostles then?
No, not in the way they fulfilled those functions back in the day.
Yeah, like, and not the way that most modern-day self-appointed prophets and apostles describe themselves.
Right.
I mean, we are the body of Christ, so these kinds of gifts and messages are available to everybody. It's not just a chosen few.
Yeah, it gets down to this difference between the word logos or logos and rhema.
Yeah.
One, folks would say that's the spoken word of God or the written word of God, and then the other, rhema, would be the spoken word of God. And so God is still speaking to his people audibly. Those words are as binding and as important and as authoritative as what we read in the Bible. And that's just not the case. They're all basically one and the same. They're the God's word spoken to us through the Word of God. And we may take what the Word of God has written and speak that out, you know, in a congregation or that sort of thing, but it's still the written Word of God. Those two will coincide, will be one and the same, basically.
Okay.
Okay, Andrew?
Okay, what about the other one about them, you know, the new covenant about people mixing law and grace with the tithes and speaking in tongues and all those other things that Paul says without the gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection. So how do you deal with these people when they start adding stuff to the gospel like those things?
Yeah. Okay, Andrew, we will certainly deal with that. Before we do, want to mention our phone line again, 1-800-677-9377. Come in and be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. We would love to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377. We're talking with Andrew in Fayetteville, North Carolina. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. Andrew has just offered up a huge question.
Yes.
About mixing law and grace, about tithing, about tongues, lots and lots of issues there. And the way to answer that, Richard, I think, is to bring people back to what is true concerning the covenants. There was an old covenant. There was a new covenant. The old covenant had a purpose. That purpose, spiritually, was to identify our condition apart from Christ, to show us that we were sinners, to show us that we stood condemned, to show us that we were dead and separated from God's life. Once we realize that, then we want to seek a cure. We want to seek a solution. Well, the law isn't that cure. The law isn't that solution. The law can only point out what's wrong. It's like a mirror. It's like an X-ray machine. That's what the law does spiritually. So to get a cure, we have to turn somewhere else, and we have to turn to someone else, and that person is Jesus Christ. And when we turn to him by faith, that's when salvation occurs. And at that point, the law gives way to Jesus. The law recognizes that it's fulfilled its purpose. It steps aside so that Jesus can take over, can do his thing in taking us from death to life, coming to live inside of us, and giving us the experience of knowing his love by faith and of living that love out as we abide in him. So those are the two covenants. Those are the two purposes. Well, today, as believers, we live in the new covenant, not the old. Now, we sometimes think we're going to hurt the old covenant's feelings if we see it for what it really is, and we set it aside just as it has set itself aside. But we're not going to hurt the old covenant's feelings
No.
at all. As a matter of fact, the old covenant is going to rejoice that we have found Jesus, that we have found what we were looking for in him. That's what the old covenant was pointing to. So the old covenant is going to sit back and applaud us for turning to Christ by faith. So we don't have to worry about trying to blend the two. Just accept each for what they are. The law served a purpose. It was a valuable purpose, but it didn't save us, and it can't sustain us. Jesus had to do that. And once Jesus is in the picture, all allegiance, all loyalty, all faith, all abiding is in him and in him alone. So that's the framework. We're not law people anymore. We're grace people. We're not old covenant. We're new covenant. And in this new covenant, God says that we are to excel in the grace of giving. That's different from the old covenant. They were obligated to bring tithes into the storehouse, which, you know, the tithes weren't money. They were food substances. They were animals. They were grain offerings, those sort of things that the people brought to the storehouses. They were for the use of the priest. They used them for their food. That's how they got along in life. They also were used in the religious life of the people as sacrifices that were offered day after day after day after day. Well, we're not under that old covenant. We don't bring our tithes to the storehouse. We have the opportunity to allow the grace of God to work in our hearts and to excel in the grace of giving, to steward the resources that God has put under our control to advance the kingdom of God. And that can be in supporting a ministry like this one. It can be in reaching out and meeting the need of a neighbor. That's how we engage ourselves in the grace of giving. And when we do, if it's done motivated by the new covenant, it's joyful. It is just a joyful, joyful experience. As Karen wrote to us here just recently, she said, "The money I send you is the best money I spend in my life. I'm glad to be a part of Basic Gospel in this way." Here's somebody that is excelling in the grace of giving, who is engaged in the grace of giving. And so that's what the New Covenant encourages us to do as far as tongues and those particular gifts. All of the spiritual gifts were given for the benefit of the body. That gift of tongues, I think many people abuse because they look at it as a gift to benefit them instead of seeing it as a gift that could be used to benefit the body of Christ. But everything that God gives us, it's for the benefit of others. It's to enable us to reach out and serve others in love, just as God has reached down to us and served us in love in Jesus Christ. So, Andrew, great question today.
And thank you so much, and I continue to support you and pray for you because y'all do such an awesome opportunity. Thing that's done out here in the world. It needs to be so many more people like you. But I just thank God for y'all and your whole staff and just everything with Basic Gospel. Thank you again, y'all. God bless
you. Hey, thank you, Andrew. Thanks for your call today. Sure appreciate it. Great call, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Want to make mention of our offer today. It's the book, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley, a wonderful resource, and we want to put it into your hands as our way of saying thank you for contributing to this ministry. If you're listening, hopefully you are receiving things that are beneficial to you. And to keep those this message coming out of the radio into your life and into your heart and impacting your life in a positive way, we need support. And would you help us? Would you make a contribution today to help keep Basic Gospel on the airwaves? And if you do, we're going to send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. All the information on how to contribute is online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call and talk to Billy, 1-800-727-2828. Well, let's go to New York and talk with Kathy, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How you doing, Bob?
Doing well.
I'm sorry, Bob. I'm Kathy.
Yes.
I was thinking about what Andrew said. I just want to reiterate what he said. You guys are doing a great job. I mean, God's not the author of confusion. There are a lot of Christians, such as myself, who can get confused and need a resource such as yours to clarify.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And you're right. We all can get confused, can't we? And it's
yes, we can. And speaking of confusion. I'm confused about a particular Bible verse in 1 Corinthians 11 where Paul is instructing regarding worship. I know it has no basis concerning salvation. That's a done deal. But he does admonish worshipers, particularly women, to wear a hat. And he does this whole, I'm sure you already know this, and he brings it all the way from Genesis. With regard to women being subjugated to men, woman created for man, and so on and so forth. So he brings in the historical biblical reference. So to me, it seems like it's obviously significant on some level. I just don't see how.
Well, good question, Kathy. There's a lot of cultural aspects to this particular passage. Corinth was a very immoral place. They had a temple at the top of a hill. Prostitutes gathered there. They would go down into the city. They would encourage men to follow them up there, and they would engage in all forms of sexual immorality under the guise of worship, under the guise of reaching up to God. It was a temple to, I forget the goddess that they were worshiping, but that was the culture of that particular city. And a lot of those prostitutes, they had shaved their heads, and that's what distinguished them among the people. And I think Paul was writing to say, hey, just recognize the reality here. Recognize what's going on. If you were one of those prostitutes and you've come to Christ, Don't bring that into this new way of living. Cover your head. For goodness sakes, mark yourself out as somebody who has come to truth, somebody who has turned away from that old life and has truly embraced their new life in Jesus Christ. And that's what I think that's what he's saying here. And he goes on to say in verse 11, "And the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman." There is a mutual submission that needs to take place there. And I think Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 5, where he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be controlled by the Spirit, or be filled with the Spirit. And then right after that, he says, we should be submissive one to another. And I think that's just a characteristic of believers in Christ and how we deal with each other. We're submissive one to another. And I think he makes that point in this particular verse in verse 11 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. And then he goes on to talk about the Lord's Supper. So there was lots of things happening wrong in the church at Corinth. I mean, there were divisions, there were fightings, there were the haves and the have-nots. Yeah. There was this group of women that were disrupting the order of service, making a mockery of the gathering there. And so all of this was instruction to correct that, to take confusion and chaos out of the picture and bring order back so that the body could really grow together and mature together in Christ.
So it placed in its historical context, it was specifically meant for those people at that time.
Well, I think, yes, it has specific application. I mean, Paul was writing to a particular group. I think there are principles that we can gain from this that are applicable to any group. But, you know, when it says that we should, a woman should have her head covered, you don't see women in churches with hats on. There are some places that do that, but not very many. But we understand the principle underneath, that we're all submissive to kind of the body as a whole, that we want to honor the body of Christ. We don't want to bring chaos. We don't want to bring confusion. And so we act with a certain protocol when we gather together, one that honors each other and honors the Lord Jesus. And that's what he's talking about here.
Yeah, I do understand, and thank you for clarifying. I mean, my brother was rejected from a congregation because his wife refused to wear a hat, and they quoted that verse.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times churches use misunderstanding, and it gets in the way of people.
And the sad part about that, Kathy, is that your brother may have really needed some encouragement. Your brother may have really needed some grace, and his wife as well. And instead of that, they got rejected. That's not in the spirit of this particular verse. That's legalism to the max.
A lot of churches doing that. But also, Bob, you mentioned the men with long hair. And didn't Jesus have long hair? And men don't need to wear hats. But if the correction towards submissiveness is to be received generally, shouldn't men be submissive as well to God?
Well, that absolutely, and that's why it says that women are not independent of man, and man is not independent of woman. He gets that in that particular verse. Well, Kathy, we're out of time on today's program. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for all who have tuned in today. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life and bringing the good news of God's love and grace into your life on a daily basis. This is a listener-supported program. We need the help of listeners just like you to continue doing what we're doing. And so we encourage you to make a gift today. Go online to basicgospel.net. Just click the support link. Follow all the instructions there. Join the Basic Gospel family so that wonderful resources continue to come out of this ministry, not only through the radio broadcast and the internet, but through audio messages on CD, books, Bible study guides, those sort of things that can be a real help and a ministry into your life as well. again, visit us at basicgospel.net. Well, for Richard Pfeiffer and for the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher. We'll look forward to meeting again tomorrow at this same time.